Bibles, hold it up real high. Repeat after me. Say, this is God's word. Come on, say it like you mean it. This is God's word. Not Pastor Evans' word. I am who it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I can be who it says I can be. And I will have what it says I can have. Today, I will hear the word of God. I boldly declare that my mind is alert, my heart is receptive, my ears are open, and I better not go to sleep. I'll never be the same. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your spirit. Thank you for your power. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your people. You said, come boldly to the throne of grace so we can obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. And Father, if there is ever a time that the church of Jesus Christ needs help, it is now. So we're asking that you speak through your word, convict by your spirit, and help our hearts to adjust so that, Lord, we can reign in victory through Jesus Christ. So I step back so the Spirit of God can use me to minister to your people. And I thank you for signs, miracles, and wonders to follow the word today. In Jesus' mighty name, can everybody say amen, amen. God bless you. You may be seated. I'll take a little bit more monitor if I can. Well, I started a new series on last week for the whole month of November, and I'm calling that series The Fivefold Gifts, Why We Believe in Them and What We Believe About Them. And so if you're visiting, in fact, if you're visiting for the very first or second time, can you just wave at us, wave any first or second time visitors? All right, we got some in the room. Okay, good, 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 good. Well, someone may be asking themselves, hold on for a minute, because I did it again. I gave you my wrong lesson again. Bruce, make sure I download the right lesson, okay? All right, here we go. So last week when I started this series, there are three things that we want to make sure happens. First of all, we want to grow in our knowledge of the fivefold. The second thing we want to do is we want to grow in understanding. Say understanding. Because you can know something and not understand it. You know how to use the light switch at home, but you don't understand how electricity works. And then number three, we need to get in position to be equipped by the fivefold. Because your God-given callings and your God-given giftings, they are wrapped up, watch this now, in you being equipped by these fivefold gifts. So we're in our second lesson today, and if you're taking notes or if you need the notes, raise your hands and our ushers will give you a copy. But today's message is going to be very good. We're talking about the purpose of a prophet. Everybody said the purpose of a prophet. So before we jump into the lesson, and I hope we can finish today, I want to bring some clarity. Everybody say clarity. I want to bring some clarity to some information that I gave on last week regarding the fivefold. Now, I'm calling these fivefold gifts for this reason. Ephesians chapter 4, they're going to put it back up there. It says, wherefore he said, I'm in verse 8, he, Jesus, ascended up on high, he led captivity captive, and he gave gifts to men. Now, I'm going to drop down to verse 11 because it says, and he, Jesus, gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. So I have a question. What did it say that Jesus did? He did what? He gave. When someone gives you something, unless they're giving you a whooping, what they are giving you can be considered a gift. Am I right about that? If I gave you $10 today, that could be considered a gift. Well, when Jesus gave the fivefold, listen to me, he didn't just give an office, he gave people. That's why an apostle is a person. A prophet is a person. An evangelist is a person. A teacher is a person. So let's read now a verse that some people will use to overshadow the fivefold being gifts and just focus on them being in office. Romans chapter 11, verse 13. Listen to what Paul said. He said, "For I speak to you Gentiles inasmuch as I am the apostle of the Gentiles." Listen to what he says, church. He says, "I magnify my office." Now, it sounds like he's saying I'm magnifying the office that I'm in. And this could be why sometimes people say that being the fivefold is an office instead of a gift. But you have to look words up in the Bible before we use them generically. Say amen to that. So I'm going to educate you first, and then we're going to jump into where I'm going. This word office that Paul used is the Greek word, I'm going to say it like this, diakonia. Or you can say diakonia, all right? D-I-A-K-O-N-I-A. I'm not going to say that no more, diakonia. Okay, diakonia, all right. Sound like evil? Yeah. Well. But anyway, this word also relates to the word deacon. Now, it's defined, this word diakonia is defined as service, administration, and office. All right, you say, well, Pastor, that makes sense. Well, this word, diakonia, is actually mentioned in its Greek form 34 times in the Bible. But I want you to listen to this. When Paul said, "I magnify my office," the word office, diakonia, listen, is the only time in 34 times that this word was used that way. So for 33 other times, it was used differently. So here's what I want to do is that I want to show you some examples of these other 33 times, because what you don't want to use is this one time for everything. All right? So the first one is Luke chapter 10, verse 40. Hopefully they'll follow me in the notes today. It says, "But Martha was cumbered about with much serving." Everybody say much serving. See the word serving there? It's the same word, diakonia. In other words, that's the word that Paul used for office. So tell me if this makes sense to you. "But Martha was cumbered about with much office." I guess if you work here at Word of Truth, that could be true. But that really doesn't make sense, much office. Okay, Acts 1:16. "Men and brethren, this scripture must needs have to be fulfilled, which the Holy Ghost by the mouth of David spoke," watch this, "concerning Judas, which was guide to those that took Jesus." Watch verse 17. "For he," Judas, "was numbered with us and had obtained part of this ministry." Now, that word ministry is the same Greek word, diakonia, which could mean office. Now, if we read it that way, it would sound okay. "For he was numbered with us, and he obtained part of this ministry or part of this office." Watch Acts chapter 6, verse 4. It says, "But we will give ourselves," this is what the apostles, they said, "we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the" what? "Ministry of" the what? "Of the word." See the word ministry there? That's the same word. So would this sound good? "But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the office of the word?" No. Let's go to Acts chapter 11, verse 29. "Then the disciples, every man according to his ability, they determined to send relief unto the brethren which lived in Judea." Judea, the brethren there needed some help. And so the book of Acts is telling us that the disciples got together to cause or send relief to them. The word relief is the same word. So if we use the word office in that, it would sound like this. "Then the disciples, every man according to his ability, determined to send office unto the brethren." That doesn't make sense either, does it? Amen. One more verse. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 7. Paul says, "Have I committed an offense in abasing myself that you might be exalted?" He says, "Because I preached the gospel to you freely." He says, "I robbed other churches, taking wages from them to do you service." The word service there is the same word office. So this word diakonia is translated 33 times as the words relief, serving, administration, and ministry, but only one time as the word office. Are you all following me so far? Okay, so let me put the icing on the cake so we can move on, okay? Let's go back to our foundational scripture, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11. It says, "And he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. Read this verse 12 with me. For the perfecting of the saints for the work of ministry. Stop right there. For the perfecting of the saints to do the work of what? Guess what that word ministry is? That's the word. In other words, he didn't say for the perfecting of the saints for the work of the office. So I'm trying to get you to see that when Paul was saying what he said, listen now, we're going to reread his verse. He says, for I speak to you Gentiles, inasmuch as I am the apostle of the Gentiles, I magnify my ministry, my service, and my serving. That's really what he was saying. Okay, and it's okay to call it an office. I have no problems with that. But in the New Testament and Old Testament, when the word office was used, it always referenced priesthood. It always referenced kingship. It also referenced in the New Testament deacon. You know, the deacon is an office. And then guess what? Bishop is an office. Now, here's the point that I'm trying to make so I can get into what I want to talk about. If we make the focus of the fivefold about them being in office alone instead of a gifting and a calling, anyone who feels like they can be that can do it. And this is why so many people are title driven versus being, watch this, called driven. The other point that I want to make is if we don't see the fivefold as gifts, then it is easy to treat them any old way that you want to. In fact, the attitude is, I'll honor the office, but I ain't gonna honor them. The devil is a lie. And if there is a pastor, evangelist, apostle in our church, you have to honor them. Because they are a gift. Amen. How you treat my pastors is how you treat me. Okay. Now, let me ask you. How can you honor the office and not honor the person? Can you honor Jesus as king without honoring him as Lord? No. Because if you don't honor, listen, you can't receive who you don't respect. So if we view them as a gift, then how we treat them will help us receive from them. Now, here's what I'm not saying. I'm not saying you should worship these people. I'm not saying you should idolize these people. But what I am saying is if Christ gave these individuals to the church, then giving denotes that they are gifts and the recipient of the gift is the church of Jesus Christ. How many part of the church? Let me see your hand. Amen. So let's start our journey off this morning with asking the first question. And this is going to get kind of down. I'm going to go way down. I'm going to come back up. And then we're going to go back down again. All right. So here's the question. What is a prophet? So I'm going to try to keep it simple. A prophet is a person who proclaims divine messages from God. Some people use the definition of God's mouthpiece, and I don't disagree with that. The problem with that definition alone is the other four are God's mouthpieces too. Amen. And although, people use different definitions, the bottom line is they proclaim divine messages from God. Listen to Hebrews chapter 1. Verses 1, I'm reading out of the King James. He says, God, who at sundry times and in diverse ways spoke in the times past to the fathers, talking about the children of Israel, by the prophets. But in these last days, he has spoken to us, how, church? By his Son, whom he's appointed heir of all things. Listen to the New Living Translation. Long ago, God spoke many times and in many ways to our ancestors. Through what? Through the prophets. And now in these final days, he has spoken to us through his Son. Now, you say, well, Pastor, what's the difference? Well, in the Old Testament, God used prophets to speak to his people. But now in the church, he's not just using prophets. He's using the fivefold. You have to remember, Jesus is a prophet himself. So when the Bible says that God is speaking in the last times through his son, how is he doing that? His son is the head of the church. Well, what's under the head? The body. Well, what did he give to the body? These five gifts. Well, what do? They're designed to equip the church. So God's going to use these fivefold, especially the prophet, to help speak to his people. Say amen to that. So today, God is speaking to us through Jesus, and Jesus is using the fivefold, specifically the prophet as well, to speak to his church. So now let's talk about how prophets came. How did they come about? Now, I believe a person, based on scripture, can be born as a prophet. But watch this now. And you can be called into as a prophet too. But if this person is not developed, if they're not trained, if they're not pruned, if they're not proven, you know what can happen? They will never function in their full calling as a prophet. Jeremiah chapter 1 verse 4 tells us, it says, then the word came to me saying, before I formed you in the belly, I knew you, Jeremiah. And before you came out of the womb, I sanctified and set you apart and I ordained you to be a prophet. So we can see that God called Jeremiah from the mother's womb to be a prophet. Now, I'm about to use an example, and I'm not using it to disrespect the prophet, but I'm trying to use it to help you get an understanding of what the point that I'm trying to make, okay? Because someone can be called from the womb, but never function from it. But remember, last week we said, Paul told us that we need to walk worthy of the vocation or the calling that God's called us to. Well, you can't walk worthy of something you don't know. Well, there's some people who have been born from their mother's womb to be a prophet, and they're clueless that they're prophets. Okay, here's an example. When frogs reproduce, what kind of baby, what's the name of the babies that frogs have? Tadpoles, right? Well, if those tadpoles never grow up, they will never become a frog. Well, there are some people who never reach their God-ordained potential because they are either ignorant of their call or they have stayed undeveloped. And that's why you need the fivefold. Amen. So I'm going to use someone this morning who was called by God to be a prophet. But most people probably don't even look at him as a prophet. And the reason I'm using him is because he had a lot of traits of being the prophet that relate to the New Testament. So we're going to look at his life, and that person is Moses. In Deuteronomy chapter 34, verse 9, let me show you that Moses was a prophet, and then we're going to talk about the things that he did as a prophet, which relate to things that our New Testament prophets should do as well. It says, now Joshua was the son of Nun. He was full of the spirit of wisdom because Moses had laid his hands on him. If your kids need wisdom, lay your hands on them. Do it while they sleep so they won't resist you. Verse 10, it says, there has never been another prophet in Israel like who, church? Like Moses. So we can just say right there that Moses was a prophet. So let's look at some of the functions of Moses as a prophet because they parallel with prophets today in the Lord's church. Here's the first one, is that prophets get a clear call from the Lord. Last week we talked about the apostle, and one of one of the traits of an apostle is that they get a clear call from the Lord. Same thing with a prophet. People walk around and say, I wonder if I'm a prophet. I don't know. What do you think? No, you don't know because you ain't got no clear call. I mean, if I called you this morning and you hung up and somebody said, well, who was that on the phone with you? What you going to say? Pastor Eben. Why? Because it was clear that I called you and I talked to you. So if you're wondering, it's because the call ain't clear. Moses received a clear call when he was faced as the burning bush. In Exodus chapter 3, I'm going to jump down to verse 2. It says, and the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire in the midst of a burning bush. And so Moses looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, but the bush that was not conceived. Watch this now. And Moses said, I will turn aside to see this great sight while this bush is burning, but it's not burnt. Here's a take-home thought. God won't reveal what you are not willing to take the time to turn aside to see. Whatever your calling is, if you don't have enough to say, okay, I need to turn away from some things to listen to what God wants me to do. And so if you look in verse 4, it says, and when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God did what, church? What does it say? God called him. And then if you continue to read, and you can jump down to chapter 3, verse 7 and verse 10, verse 10 says, God told Moses, come and I will send you to Pharaoh. So he got a clear calling from the Lord. Guess who else got a call? Samuel got a call. He was serving in the temple. So the first thing is a prophet is going to get a clear call from the Lord. Here's number two. Moses, or prophets, was God's spokesperson and a mouthpiece. Well, we know that because Moses was God's mouthpiece and God sent him back to Pharaoh into Egypt. Why? So Egypt or Pharaoh could hear what God had to say to him. And so prophets today should be God's mouthpiece and God's spokesperson. Amen. Here's number three. Prophets, or in this case, Moses, governed and guided a people. Prophets point to what God wants us to see and what God wants us to know. They're going to see things and they're going to hear things and they're going to know things that the average person is not going to know. Why? Because they are considered God's mouthpiece. Watch this. I need everybody to look at that screen over there. Look at that screen. Excuse me. All right. See that? All right. Now, come back this way. See, the only reason you all looked at the screen is because I'll use my words to do that and I pointed in that direction. Well, what finger is the prophet on the hand? The pointing finger. Amen. Here's number four. Moses was an intercessor, because that's one of the traits of a prophet. If you don't pray and you don't intercede, you ain't no prophet. Amen. I hear the Lord saying, when was the last time you prayed? All right. You know, every time the children of Israel did something dumb, Moses was a true intercessor. He would get on his knees. There was one day, number 16, I'm not going to go through all of it, but there was this dude named Korah, and he decided that he wanted to be in charge. He was like, Moses shouldn't be the only person around here being in charge. And the Bible says he stirred up 250 other people, and they all got together, and they was coming to Moses. And so verse 2, it says they incited rebellion against Moses along with 250 other leaders of the community. All of them were prominent members, and they united against Moses and Aaron. And they said, you've gone too far. The whole community of Israel has been set apart by the Lord, and he is with all of us. What right do you have to act as though you are greater than the rest of the Lord's people? And when Moses heard it, what did he do? He fell down on his face, because he knew that God don't play that. In fact, number 16, verse 19, God told them when they got up together. And so verse 19, it says, meanwhile, Korah had stirred up the whole entire community against Moses and Aaron, they all gathered at the tabernacle's entrance. Then the glorious presence of the Lord appeared to the whole community. And the Lord said to Moses and Aaron, get away from them. I'm about to instantly destroy them. Oh, my God. Look at verse 22, though. It says, after God said that to Moses, Moses and Aaron fell on their face to the ground and began to pray. Everybody say, prophets need to intercede. Here's number five. Moses prophesied of future events. I'm not even going to go into the scripture. You can write down Deuteronomy 31, 28. And that's what prophets today do. They have the ability to prophesy future events. Amen. Jeremiah did that. If you go and read Matthew chapter 27, verse 9, it talks about Jeremiah the prophet and how he prophesied about the 30 pieces of silver that Judas was going to use to, you know, betray Jesus. Amen. Prophets prophesy. They foretell. That means they are able to predict the future. Amen. And they reveal God's counsel for the future. Here's number six. I know I'm going fast. Moses confronted ungodly governmental structures and systems. Prophets are supposed to, watch this, confront ungodly governmental structures and systems, even if it's in the church. Amen. There are some systems and some structures in church that shouldn't be. If it points to evil, if it points to flesh, it should not be. Amen. Now remember, you say, well, how did he confront ungodly governmental structures? Well, remember, God sent Moses to Pharaoh to tell him to let his people go. Now, underdeveloped prophets, watch this, will try to confront and solve problems either in their flesh or through their unhealthy souls. In other words, they can do the right thing the wrong way. You say, well, how is that? Remember Moses, when he saw that the Egyptian taskmasters did something to one of the Hebrew men, what did he do? He killed him. He saw that there was, you know, that he was being wrongly, not wrong in a sense in a slavery context, but he was being treated wrong. And the Bible says when Moses saw it, this is in Exodus chapter 2, verse 11, it says, during his visit, he saw an Egyptian beating one of his fellow Hebrews. After looking in all directions to make sure no one was watching, Moses killed the Egyptian. In other words, he did the right thing the wrong way. And when you're underdeveloped prophetically, you can do that. Wow. Here's number 7. Moses confronted false prophets, because that's what prophets are supposed to do. In Exodus chapter 7, verse 10. When Moses went to Pharaoh, I'm reading verse 10, and did what the Lord had commanded, Aaron threw down his staff before Pharaoh and his officials, and it became a serpent. Then Pharaoh called his own wise men, watch this church, and the sorcerers, and these Egyptian magicians did the same thing with their magic. They threw down their staff, and it also became a serpent. But watch what happened. But Aaron's staff swallowed up their staff. See, if there are real prophets, church, there have to be false prophets. In fact, Revelation chapter 2 tells us about a person who declared themselves to be a prophet and they weren't. This is in Revelation chapter 2, verse 18. It says, I know thy works. I'm in verse 19. Jesus was talking to the church in Thyatira, and he says, I know your works and your love and your service and your faith and your patience and your works, and the last to be more than the first. He says, but I have a few things against you, because you suffered. That word suffered means to allow one to do as they please. He says, the thing I have against you is you have allowed this woman Jezebel to do what she pleases, and she calls herself a prophetess. And listen, church, we have a lot of people in the church today who are calling themselves prophets, and they're not. You say, well, Pastor Evan, how do we know the difference? See, listen, false prophets are disguised in our world today as witches and warlocks and psychics and sorcerers and mediums. And if you read your horoscope this week, you read your information from a false prophet. I believe in my horoscope. Why do you believe in something that a witch or a warlock or a medium went in a dark place to get, when you can open up your Bible to see what God says about your life? Now, these psychics and warlocks and witches and sorcerers and mediums, these are people, watch this, church, they are accessing spiritual information from the dark side. They use portals and demons. Remember, Jesus said, if any person comes to the sheepfold and they come in another way, they are thieves and robbers. See, there are different ways to get spiritual information, church. And these false prophets use demonic spirits and portals to get to this information. But true prophets, everybody say true prophets. True prophets of Jesus Christ, they are accessing their information, watch this, by way of the Holy Spirit. In today's world, have you heard the term dark web? See, there's a dark web on the internet. And this dark web is where information has been accessed and obtained illegally. That's why if your name and your information has been surfaced in the dark web, you'll get this letter that says, hey, your Social Security number has been exposed by, somebody. They done took it down to the dark web. Well, all spiritual information that's illegal and demonic in origin, how do you know if it is? If it doesn't uplift the testimony of Jesus Christ. Revelation chapter 19, verse 10b says, for the testimony of Jesus Christ is the spirit of prophecy. If anything that has to do with prophecy, whether it's the person or whether what they're saying, if it doesn't uplift the name of Jesus Christ, it's evil. Say amen to that. Here's number 7. Moses mentored others, and that's what prophets do. Elijah, he mentored Elisha. Moses, he mentored Joshua. That's what they do. And that's what prophets are supposed to do in today's church. They are supposed to be mentoring and developing people within the church so people in the church can learn to hear the voice of God, because I'm going to show you here at the end that some of you all think you're prophets and you're not. Moses, here's number nine. Moses set up structures and systems. If you go and read, he set up structures. That's why he was trying to pray for everybody and listen to everybody. And then his father-in-law said, set this up and set this up and set this up. And see, that's why it's so important that, watch this, true apostles and prophets really work together. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 28 says, and God has set some in the church, watch this, first apostles and secondarily prophets. They are supposed to work together. Moses could not have done that without the help of his father-in-law, which was Jethro. Here's number 10. Moses called the people of God to repent because that's what true Christ prophets do. They call the church to repent. So how can a prophet of Jesus Christ tell people to repent and they're living in sin? I'm not saying that they should be perfect because nobody is. But if somebody is consistently living in sin, when their call is to call people into repentance, they may not be a prophet of the living God. Say amen to that. All right, so here's why I listed those functions up front for a prophet. Because a lot of people in the body of Christ today don't have those qualities that I read, but they think they are a prophet because they can prophesy. They think they're a prophet because they maybe dream dreams or have words of wisdom, words of knowledge, discerning of spirits. But now, you all already ought to know this at Word of Truth Family Church, but I'm going to say it anyway. So if you're visiting, you'd be like, oh, that was kind of deep. Just go watch it again. Let me tell you this. If you are a believer in Jesus Christ, you have the ability to function in all of the manifestations of the Spirit. You say, Pastor, what do you mean by that? 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 4. Paul says, now there are diversities of gifts, but it's the same Spirit. There are differences in how they operate or administrations, but it's the same Lord. They have different operations, but it's the same God that works in all. But then he says, but, which means in contrast to what we just read, he says, but the manifestation of the Spirit, watch this church, is given to who? Who? Every man to profit with all. And so he tells us what these manifestations are. You have the word of wisdom. You have the word of knowledge. You have the gift of faith, or it says to another faith. It says to another gifts of healings by the same Spirit. He says miracles, prophecy, discerning spirits, diverse kinds of tongues, and another interpretation of tongues. But all of these work of the same and self-same Spirit, dividing to every man severally as his will. In other words, I'm here to tell you, watch this, the same place that the prophet gets their information from is the same place you get yours from. The difference is they have been called by God into this position as a gift and an office, and you just have the manifestation of the Spirit by way of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So if you think, well, I can't speak in tongues because it's a gift. It's not. It's a manifestation. It's just up to you to use it. Say amen to that. Amen. So we're talking about now these different manifestations, and here's the beautiful thing. Prophets can do that. And you can too. The only difference is I've been called by God to help train and equip other people to do it too. Because that's what they're supposed to do. Now, are they different? Yes, because we're talking about now being a leader versus just having manifestation. And this is why you should desire the gifts. It says, I'm going to say it in point number three, but it talks about despise not prophesying. You know, there's a prophetic word that somebody sent me this morning. I'm going to read it to you. This is good because I believe it's true. It says this. Good morning, Pastor. The Holy Spirit showed me a bulldozer. Bulldozers were coming in, breaking up the ground. He said the ground is hard, and in order for us, talking about word of truth, in order for us to go into the things of the deep, the bulldozer, the Holy Spirit, needed to break up the hard surface. The things that are on the hard surfaces are the things we've been used to doing for so many years, our routines. Take this personally too. And that's why the surfaces is so hard. We are about to step into new things. Corporate deliverance is about to take place to launch us into some deep things. The verse that they use is, behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. And back in worship, did y'all hear the word? Did y'all hear the songs? Yes. So new things are coming. Everybody say new things are coming. So how do prophets benefit us? First of all, they can help you discover and develop your God-given giftings, callings, and functions. They can do that. And this is why we just started introducing some new growth classes so you can learn and to grow in the prophetic things of God. They can point out to us what God is saying and what God wants us to do. But see, if you're not in the room, if you're not in the environment, and this is why our church, you know, about 4 years ago, I purposely decided we're going to marry the word of faith with the prophetic, because sometimes you have prophetic over here and you have the word of faith over here, and they are so far from each other, but God needs both of them. Say amen to that. And my job is going to be to make sure I raise up all five of the fivefold in this church. No. There should be apostles being raised up in this church. There should be prophets raised up in this church. There should be evangelists raised up in this church. There should be teachers raised up in this church. What am I missing? Apostles raised, what did I say? Pastors should be raised up right here. And here's what I try to do. Until they're raised up to the point where they are fully mature, I'll just bring some in. But here's what I believe God is doing in this hour. There are some of you who have, you didn't know the difference between flowing prophetically and being a prophet. Well, here's the difference. One is called and one is a manifestation. That's simple. And I believe everybody say everybody. Everybody can function in a manifestation. Number three, prophets can help establish the body by bringing order, correction, and maturity. So how do we apply the message today? I want you to go back and listen to it because I said a lot and I was talking fast. But get in position to not despise prophesying. Because let me tell you what has happened to some of y'all. Somebody gave you a prophecy and it didn't happen. So in your mind and your heart, you said, this ain't real. And if you keep that posture, God can't use prophecy to help you. Listen, prophets are human just like we are. They can miss it just like we can. But if you don't watch it, sometimes prophecy has to be participated in. The question you have to ask yourself is, did you do your part? Listen, the prophet gave Naaman a word and said, I need you to go and dip into the Jordan seven times. He could have went and done it six and said, that word didn't work. No, it would have worked. You went six and not seven. Maybe the word that God has spoken over your life hasn't come to pass because you're shacking. Just look at somebody and say, ain't nobody in here shacking. Thessalonians chapter 5 verse 19 says, quench not the spirit, despise not prophesying. And here's the third one. If you believe God wants to use you in a prophetic way, become a part of some of the things that we're doing prophetically. But in addition to that, I want you, in fact, with every head bowed, every eye closed, are you surrendered fully? You know, it's so easy because the spirit and the soul are so close to each other. It's so easy to think you heard something and you didn't. Have you surrendered your soul? Because see, church, if you surrender your soul, you have to now surrender the pain that's in it. See, some of you all are not ready to surrender the pain, the hurt, the challenges that your soul have gone through. It could have been the divorce. It could have been the religious people who rejected you at your old church. It could have been somebody who maybe they tried to embarrass you or whatever the case is. My question to you is, have you surrendered that hurt? Because an unsurrendered soul can flow through flesh and spirit and not even know it. Father, in the name of Jesus, thank you that prophets are real. Thank you that you're using them in your church to bring order, to bring insight, to bring direction, to prophesy things that are on your heart. Not just to help people individually, but to help our church. And I pray in the name of Jesus that the real prophets of Jesus Christ will begin to rise. That God, they'll be able to do like prophets of old who faced Baal and was able to say, let's see whose God is real. I thank you for the prophets rising up today in the body of Christ like never before. And Lord, I also pray that every prophet that's fake and false will begin to fall right now in Jesus' name. And I thank you for bringing order and maturity into your body in Jesus' name.